Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have stumbled into another edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the show that dives into the discography, the catalog of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how's your day been?
You know, my day's been pretty good. But I hear yours has not been. Let the folks know the saga with you and the trees in your driveway just won't quit, will it?
There's an abundant number, and by that I mean like three or four weak trees that have been on these the front lawn of the property my girlfriend and I live at for years. They've been there for years and they've been weak, but they have also been pretty receptacle to lightning strikes. The same tree has been struck by lightning twice, and the first time it got struck, it landed on our vehicles. It destroyed my girlfriend's, at the time, almost brand new car, just totaled it completely. The damage on my car wasn't so bad, so I didn't care. The second time it went the other way, didn't destroy the power lines, but landed right on them. And when the power lines were in jeopardy, that got the city to send people over real quick. Not so much the first time, though. But anyway, now I am happy to report that lightning did not strike the tree again. And do you know why? Because that tree that it struck has all but been decimated at this point. No. This time, the second tree in the front yard just decided to collapse and fall over with nothing prompting it. No winds, no thunder, no a tsunami that we can't get because we don't live that close to water. Just the wind, I guess, or just bad rotted wood. I don't know, Corey. All I know is it landed on my girlfriend's truck, the truck she had to get to replace the one that got totaled. Not a lot of damage to the truck, though, but the windshield was completely smashed in. But not to worry, that's an easier fix than everything else. But all that to say, I don't know why the gods or whomever out there is so determined to destroy our lives with these front lawn trees. All I know is these trees got to go.
You know what you got to do? You got to, like, I watch a lot of Homestead Rescue on Discovery. You got to Marty Rainey that shit and get yourself a chainsaw. And just cut down every fucking tree within a 2-block radius of your driveway.
Well, let me tell you, we have a chainsaw at the house, and it was a borrowed one, but we have one. And the lady went to town. She was Billy Badass for the afternoon because she would not be denied sawing those wood piles just all to hell. And we got it off the truck. Everything's all good, minus the windshield, but that's in due process to be fixed. But the thing is, though, like, it would take us so long with the little chainsaw we have to go through what's left of this other tree. But we got people coming finally because we can't have any more tree falls. We just can't. We did everything shy of sacrificing a goat to Thor himself to be like, bro, leave the house alone. Like, just leave it. I don't know what else to do.
And you know, I was going to bug you tonight because currently happening in Nashville is the Motley Crue Def Leppard Stadium Tour playing That's tonight. Right. I'm like, why the hell aren't you going to the show? Like, Def Leppard's still a really good live act. Motley Crue is back for the first time in 7 years. Poison, actually, CC DeVille is doing Eruption as his guitar solo. Now I hear they're not even performing tonight, so that's unfortunate. But, you know, at least it's live music in Nashville, but probably can't afford it at this point, huh?
I mean, if a certain ticket agency is holding the tickets ransom, then no, you're going to be paying a lot more than you probably originally intended to. And that show, I'm sure, probably was pretty expensive just because of the names alone. But I do find it really ballsy of CC DeVille. Not that he's a bad guitar player. I've never thought that, but his warm up's going to be Eruption. That's a very ballsy move, I got to say.
It is. And
I wonder how it sounds, you know.
You can catch it on YouTube from a few of the different stops. I think I listened to his version of Eruption from Miami, and it was actually not too bad.
Well, then, all right. Well, then, good for CC DeVille. You guys catch that whole tour. Hopefully, when Poison's back up and running, you guys come back to us, tweet us, send us an email, let us know what you think if CC DeVille does Eruption. Like, does it hold up with the track, or is he just fooling himself? I don't know. You tell us.
There you go. So that's happening tonight in Nashville. Tomorrow, actually, this is going to drop on Canada Day. So I just wanted to send a very special happy Canada Day to all of our Canadian listeners. Of course, I'm Canadian. And we're coming up on July 4th as well. I know things maybe in America aren't so rosy right now, but hopefully you guys will have a good day Monday.
Well, we'll see. It's due to rain and storm, so putting a damper on a lot of the festivities that comes with the 4th of July. And to that, I say it's probably for the best this year. Let's just go ahead and put that
inside. And
yeah, I'll just go ahead and I'll wave a flag in favor of you guys in Canada and possibly my some blood relatives that I have. That's an interesting turn of events. We'll have to discuss that later, you and I. Yeah. But you guys didn't come here for This Is Your Life or what we're going to be doing on a holiday that we either do care about or we don't. You came here to listen to us talk about Van Halen. Yeah. Now, look, we've been on a kind of interesting roll here lately. We've had some bangers, I thought. We've had some really, really good tracks, and then we have had some not so great tracks. It's kind of a back and forth right now. So, Corey, I got to ask you, tonight, is there something that you just really, really want to try and manifest with everything that you can? Because we need the wheel to be merciful. I know personally, I would rather the wheel be merciful for me today. But how about you? Anything in particular you want to try and bring forth?
Van Halen 1.
Yes.
Need us some Van Halen 1. And I know we've even had some of our Twitter followers come out and just say, you know, working real hard to manifest. Actually, Greg Zito said, well, he was talking about the show from last week. He didn't think that Feels So Good delivered, and we agree on that one, but it still made him smile. Mark is right. The solo was sizzling hot, but he's manifesting Van Halen 1 for the next show, and I am right there with Greg. I would love to hear me some Van Halen 1 for this one. How about you, Mark?
I am going to add all of my manifestation energy that I possibly can to that vote. We definitely need something from Van Halen 1. That would make me such a happy person. I can think of a couple of tracks in particular that were we to spin, I would just be super, super giddy. So let's just hope. Let's hope we get something from the album, because it's not a bad album. A lot of hits, a lot of just great tracks. So we could use that. We could use that for this episode. So join us, listeners, please, and use your manifestation powers to let the wheel give us what we need. Not want, we need it.
We have a late-breaking tweet as we're recording here. Gene Hickey just tweeted at us and said, real doozy of a week heading into an even bigger doozy of a weekend. Podcast will rock. Please tell me you got something good on deck this week. Man, I hope we do for you, Gene. I'm right there with you. Mark has already gone through his troubles in the last 24 hours. It's been a rough week. We got a little bit of a holiday coming up, so I'm right there with you. Let's get something good here this week. But before we do, let's go through the Twitter poll from last week.
That's right.
All right, so last week, Feels So Good. We had a guest on, of course. Did an absolutely fantastic job. Scott Haskin, and we rolled Feels So Good from OU812, and all three of us gave it the stream is over. Not an emphatic one. It was just kind of mad. Like even Scott said, if there was kind of a dream in the middle type thing, that's where his vote would kind of lie. And I think most of us were kind of on that page. The Twitter poll was actually a little more definitive than I anticipated. We were in the minority for the first time in a while, Mark. 65.5% of the people thought it was what dreams are made of. 34.5% said the dream is over. So,
wow, that's I had not looked. I hadn't looked at the poll at all this week, just because I wanted to. I was very curious. Did not expect that to be the result. So I'm very interested to hear what feedback we got.
All right, let's start with the aforementioned Gene. By the way, I'm going to stop saying last names because I keep butchering everybody's last name. I know Tarm, a good friend Tom. I kept calling him Arm Brewster. It's Arm Bruster apparently. So I'm just going to say Tom. And if I butcher your first name, then fuck, I should just get out of podcasting. So I'm just going to say first names from now on. So our good friend Gene says, I, like Mr. and Mrs. Kammeyer, also had this on cassette. Back when that was a dying media of the moment, I love this song. Heard it on the radio, saw the video on MTV, and wore that tape out. Now that I have their entire catalog at my fingertips, just how meh it is stands out. He gave a little thumbs down emoji. So
it happens. It happens. I didn't expect it to either.
Kevin, a good buddy, says, love this episode, chaps. I love they call this chaps. He comes from Britain, I think, originally. I totally agree with basically everything you said. Still love this song. It occupies a weird nostalgic place in my heart, and I'll just always love it. As a spotty teen keyboard nerd, it was cool to hear a real rock band incorporate keys the way Eddie did. That's a great tweet. I love that it worked for Kevin in that way. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Next up, we have Josh, who says, the song feels like any other band could have performed it. And I love that statement because I agree totally. A throwaway on a soundtrack to a romantic comedy. You're right. It maybe belongs on like the Pretty Woman soundtrack or something.
Or even that. Well, I mean, I don't even know if I would put it there because say what you will about the film, but the soundtrack kind of slaps.
It does, yeah. Love me some Roxette. We should do a Roxette podcast next month. How about that?
maybe.
All right. The Tom Petty Project account. Tom Petty Project is a new member to the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. So welcome. I love this show. I'm a big Tom Petty fan, so I'm loving catching up on some of the deeper cuts from the Tom Petty Project. They simply said, it's a sentimental favorite for me, just a super cool melody line. There you go. So there's another positive review. Our good buddy, Jonathan from Maiden A to Z, I probably said that completely wrong. He says, this didn't tickle my fancy. I like the intro, but the song felt very generic. Not enough identity. It's weird how much well-performed vocals can emote on zero levels. This dream is over. Very well
said. I agree. I definitely do not disagree with that statement.
Yep. Our good buddy Michael at Avenue A68 on Twitter says, yep, the dream is over. Too many keyboard songs. Just never gets going. Again, don't hate it, but don't love it. Once again, how do I agree with Mark? And he gave a great little gif of Matthew Perry beating his head into a piece of wood there. So
because I on occasion have good opinions and thoughts.
There you go. Well said.
On occasion.
Next up, we have Charles, who said, lyrics make this one pretty pedestrian, and that outweighs what is going on musically for me. And the lyrics are really pedestrian. I agree with that sentiment 100%.
Yeah, it pains me to admit it, but yes.
Our good friends at the Sean Geek and Fast Fet podcast, by the way, they just did a two-part episode with Chris L. from Pot of Thunder. I listened to part one. It's fantastic. You get a deep dive into Chris L., you know, his time at Playboy, how Pot of Thunder started. It's really a great show. I encourage everyone listening to the show, seek out the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast. Mark, we got a special surprise for you coming up. They're going to be on our show coming up, and we're going to be on their show. And we're going to introduce you a little bit to some Canadian rock. Now, Canada Day is tomorrow. So I'm very much looking forward to introducing to you some really classic, great Canadian rock and roll.
I mean, why not? I'm a big fan of Canadian musicians, and I think that's going to be such a killer time.
Stay tuned for that. That's going to be a great time. But Sean Geek, Fast Fret, they say, I guess I had buried my memories on this one. Its positioning on the album, which I owned a cassette, directly impacted missing everything after this song on there. So that's kind of interesting because kids today won't understand when you got the cassette. You got to play the songs in sequence. Otherwise, you're fast forwarding. You have to try and stop and find where the next song starts. It's a huge pain in the ass.
It was a process.
And they even say, I was a late comer coming to finish what you started because I could not get through this song. So they actually missed finish what you started because they couldn't get through Feel So Good. The only real good thing outside of the solo is what Alex is doing, but neither can save this song from just plain sucking. So they agree with us on that one. Steve at Joint Partners simply says, this feels like a trick question. It's not. We actually wanted your on this song. But Deep Purple Podcast says, I've always really dug this tune. And that's great. I love that that this song worked for him. It just never quite did for me. And it never quite did for Mark either.
Nope.
Our good friend Jonathan says, Mark stole my line. This song is Why Can't This Be Love, but done after drinking tequila and smoking the devil's lettuce.
I mean, maybe, but not even that. It just sounded like, hey, we did that song already. Oh, okay. Just change the lyrics a little bit. It'll be fine.
Yeah. He also says the solo here, though, is way better, which we all agree on.
Yes,
that. Solo here kicks ass. Can we get a remix of OU812, please? Absolutely. This is an album begging for a remix.
It's shocking that it hasn't been.
Like Eddie even said, like, sonically it's shit. Like, let's get in there and remix that fucker, because there's some really good, cool tunes on that record. Airhead says, I can't argue strenuously against your votes on this one, as it's definitely not one of their greats, and your points are valid. But it's still What Dreams Are Made Of for me, because it just makes me feel good. That's awesome.
And well, there you go.
It's the great thing about music, right? It didn't really work for us, but it worked for you, and that's fantastic, and I'm happy for you. Tom Armbruster, not Brewster, says, I mean, it makes me feel good. There you go. There's another one. That's fantastic. Glad you like the song. And finally, Pear, I'm not even going to try and say his last name because I would butcher the fuck out of it, but he says, this tune is okay. The real problem is that OU812 sounds like fuck. If it would only sound like fuck, and it's the fuck that's For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. So I love that comment, because For Unlawful is a tremendous sounding album. If OU812 was mixed like that album, night and day difference.
Mm-hmm.
So those are.
I wonder why someone hasn't tackled that one yet. We need to inquire this.
Well, you know, it wasn't that long ago we reported that this year they're remixing the first six albums and releasing them on vinyl and in digital and all that. At some point, they got to do the four Sammy albums, right? Like,
I would assume so.
Like, I spent $300 on a vinyl copy of For Unlawful. To find balance on vinyl is like $400 to $500. Like, I need a remastered version, so I'm not spending all my money on balance. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do know what you mean. It's there's a fine line of dollars to spend on that particular album, and I think you definitely cross it getting into the 500 territory. Yeah.
I can justify 300 for For Unlawful because I love that record. Yes. And it's a classic record. It's the red vinyl. It's amazing. But balance, we're getting a little rich, I think, for balance.
Yeah.
I still got to try and find that on vinyl, though. I'm a completionist. I got to get everything on vinyl. So
I get that. I'm like that way with movies, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Especially if I, you know, cause I collect a steelbook, Blu-rays, and right, those are rare. You know, the artwork is different. But now too many people have caught wind of those. So now it's like really hard to get them. But if I start one series in steelbooks, I can't finish it in the regular Blu-ray cases, the flimsy ones, you know.
Like an itch in your brain, isn't it? Right? Like,
it is. It's just like, I got to finish it. Like, even if it's a movie I don't like, unfortunately, it's like, but it's part of the series and it has to go there.
Like, okay, I got the first three Jurassic Parks. Now Jurassic Worlds are coming out and they're progressively getting worse. Like, well, I still got to fucking buy them because I'm a completionist. Got to have them all.
I know. It's a sickness. Gotta have them all. They're like Pokemon.
I know, but vinyl's becoming that way for me because I'm just spending way too much money on vinyl. I'm afraid my wife is gonna leave me. So
well, to ease up on the vinyl and ease back more. Well, I don't know what I'm trying to say there. I'm just ease up on the vinyl. I thought I had something quippy there. I don't. But look, we all have our vices, we all have those things that we like to do. If you're a collector of sorts, you know, it's part of the game, and we seem to be collecting podcast, or you do anyway, you're collecting podcasts. There's just all around you. Yep. But this time you're talking about Van Halen, and I think, Corey, the time has come to spin the wheel and just to hope that all of our manifestation energy treats the wheel with kindness so that it might treat us with kindness. So whenever you're ready, let's spin.
Yes.
All right, Dave's excited. I'm gonna shuffle it up a few times. All right, Mr. Hager, hit it.
Here we go.
Oh,
Come on. Oh.
It was a virtual tie.
No.
It was almost Ain't Talking About Love, but the wheel lands on Take Your Whiskey Home from Women and Children First. That's a good one, too, though.
Yeah, but that Ain't Talking About Love would have been perfect. That would have been the perfect track for me. Ugh.
I agree. Instead, we're getting Women and Children First. Of course, Van Halen's third album. This was song number 7. So on side 2, nestled between Loss of Control and Could This Be Magic. It's actually ironic. I host a TV show called The Vinyl Countdown. And one of the hosts brought on Women and Children First. And they mentioned that one of their favorite tracks off this album is Take Your Whiskey Home. So that's kind of cool. However, man, we were so close.
I know, literally by a thread, literally by a thread, if you can call it that on the wheel. We almost got not just a Van Halen one track, but one of my absolute favorite tracks ever of Van Halen, Ain't Talking About Love, man. But I guess the wheel is going to save that one for another day when we need it even more.
I guess so. So a little bit that I know about Take Your Whiskey Home. It was a leftover from the band's club days. Eddie wasn't really a fan of this one, but the rest of the band insisted it be on the album, and that comes from our friends at the Van Halen News Desk, so I'll take that as gospel. I know
that's pretty much
There's been some controversy on Twitter this week. We were kind of involved in a Twitter thread with Greg Renoff and a few other people talking about Noel Monk's book and how you should kind of take a lot of what he said with a grain of salt, which I agree. Like, everything I read from Noel Monk, I enjoyed his book, but I took it with a grain of salt. Unless it's coming from Greg Renoff or the Van Halen News Desk, I don't treat it as gospel. This I got from the Van Halen News Desk, so I'm treating it as gospel that Eddie wasn't a big fan of this one in the club days, but the rest of the band insisted it be on the album.
I mean, you know, there's probably, and as we listen to it, we can probably hear it. Maybe there's some sort of evidence as to why he exactly didn't really fancy it all that much. Maybe it's not as engaging, the material is not as engaging as he would have preferred. I don't know, maybe he's kind of one of those people, because I've grew up with musicians like this. They don't like to think about the past in terms of their musical journey. They don't like to kind of focus on it or sort of reboot it, or what, however you want to think about it, which is interesting, because as touring musicians, you're playing the same songs over and over and over again. And if you have longevity, you're definitely playing songs from the past all the time. So I don't know, maybe something like that, or maybe he just has a personal thing with it, but nevertheless, here we are.
That's right. I'm just looking up some tour stats here from setlist.fm, and this song was played 113 times by Van Halen. So quite a bit through 74, 75, 76. It was last played in 1980. It was first played May 3rd, 1974 at the Pasadena High School Gymnasium.
What a gig that must have been.
I tell you, read Greg Renoff's book, Van Halen Rising. It chronicles the beginnings of Van Halen. It's an amazing book. Take every word for gospel in that one, because Greg Renoff, as Eric Sandich said, is the definitive Van Halen expert, probably on the planet. So,
well, there you go.
He'll talk about this track and that one. But what do you say, Mark? Let's start spinning Take Your Whiskey Home from Women and Children First.
Take it away.
Well, my baby, she don't want me around. She's tired of watching me fall down. She wants a good life and all the best, but I like that bottle better than the rest. And she said, I think that you're headed for a whole lot of trouble. Well, I think that you're headed for a whole lot of trouble.
Well, what do you think so far, Mark?
It's very raw and very real, and this is what music is supposed to sound like, you know, just in the sense of it's just Eddie and Dave just, you know, plucking away and, you know, singing away. And Dave, he is doing all the things that you love about Dave. He's doing all those things, but he doesn't even need to be enhanced by like the loudness of the music, not the amps or the drums. It's just Eddie playing acoustic guitar, utilizing his blues skills. You know, he's a fan. He's a blues player when he really wants to be. And just, you know, plucking away, man. I forgot about this is how this song starts off, man. I just like, yeah, I really, really dig the rawness of it.
Good shit. And again, David Lee Roth, underrated lyricist. She wants the good life, only the best, but I like the bottle better than the rest. Amen, brother. Mm-hmm. As I'm drinking whiskey right here, I'm taking my whiskey home. Yeah. I'm actually almost out of whiskey. So I got to text my wife and see if she can pick me up a bottle. But yeah, love the beginning of this song here.
And I think that you're heading for a whole lot of trouble if you take your whiskey. With that liquor in the nighttime, leave strange memories. Seems a lifetime since yesterday. Come the daybreak, and come tomorrow. That woman's waited up all night for me again. Oh, she said, oh, and I think that you're in for a whole lot of trouble. Yeah, I think that you're in for a whole lot of trouble.
This is what it sounds like when the guys get in the room, and maybe it was Eddie. He goes, I think we should do like a blues song, but utilize a lot more rock into it. Okay, what does that sound like? I was thinking something like this. You know, just kind of plays it. And then everyone understands the assignment right after that. Like David Lee Roth sounds great doing this style with this type of a kind of difference in what they're usually doing, because usually you don't think of Van Halen utilizing a lot of blues influence. Every once in a while Eddie will slip that in there because, you know, he loves it and he plays it, but this one kind of just, this is almost, it felt specifically, hey, let's do a kind of bluesy song. What does that sound like? It sounds like this is what it sounds, this is what makes me think, if you think of like a rock and roll stemming from the blues, it sounds like this to me.
And I wonder how different, I've never heard the demo. Apparently this song, Take Your Whiskey Home and In a Simple Rhyme, were recorded in 74 at the Cherokee Studios for that demo before Michael Anthony had even joined the band. So I'm curious what the evolution was from the demo. And I'm sure a lot of people out there have heard the demo. I just haven't, unfortunately, to the finished product. But you get that Ted Templeman production and the band sounds amazing. And what are your thoughts in general on Women and Children First? Of course, Van Halen 1 and 2 were big hits. Women and Children First wasn't a huge hit off the hop. Noel Monk mentioned his book, and I don't know how true this is, of having to pay off radio stations to get him to play songs. There was only one single released off this album, which was And the Cradle Will Rock. It eventually, sold 3 million records, but I think that was after, you know, 1984, kind of reinvigorated interest in the band. Everybody kind of went back and bought the back catalog, but it only ever like charted, I think, on the year-end charts for Billboard, it was number 51. Like, it wasn't a huge hit at the time when it came out.
I think, and I can't even say that this album sounds different than the others, because when you think about Everybody Wants Some or And the Cradle Will Rock, you know, those specific tunes, it sounds like classic Van Halen to me, I don't know, maybe the rest of it people just weren't digging on it. Maybe there was kind of a lull with the fans in the band at that point. Maybe it felt too stale. I don't know, it could be a number of things, or maybe this album just wasn't promoted heavily enough. I'm not sure.
And there's some single worthy tracks on here, like you mentioned Everybody Wants, or Fools, which is a song we cover. Yes. Romeo Delight, I think, is a single worthy track. So this album, I think, considered maybe a little heavier, than Van Halen 1 and 2. So maybe that had something to do with it. I know Rolling Stone actually listed it 36 on their list of the 100 greatest metal albums of all time. And you wouldn't really think of Women and Children First as being a metal album, but it's certainly probably the heaviest in the Van Halen catalog.
Unchained's definitely one of their heavier songs. It's probably not their heaviest, but it's one of the heavy ones just in the nature of how it's structured. And then even Everybody Wants Some is pretty heavy when you break it down to it. But I don't know. It could have been that. Maybe people weren't ready for a super heavy Van Halen, but I don't know. To me, if you listen to both Van Halen 1 and 2 back to back, it's all there. The formula's still there. So perhaps people in 1980 were fickle about what they were buying in their records those days.
Here you go. Take your whiskey home.
Certain boats are right. Never takes me at least halfway to the label. For I can even make it through the night.
Come on. Lyrically, some goes to women, some goes to Jesus. Though I'm absolutely certain boats all right. But it takes me at least halfway to the label for I can even make it through the night.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome shit.
Oh, he's straight up channeling as powerful of a blues lyricist as he possibly can, and he's succeeding because it's just the ambiance that the song musically is presenting is, I mean, the lyrics write themselves, I think, but very good on Dave for having good keen rhyme schemes and phrasing.
It gets the tone of the song. Like I know you're a Sammy guy, but lyrically, I think Dave blows him out of the water. Singing is a whole other matter. Frontman is debatable. Lyrically, I think Diamond Dave head and shoulders above Sammy Hagar. You got to agree with that, don't you, Mark?
I don't know if I would say head and shoulders because I think an argument can be made on both sides. I will say they are very different lyricists. Yes. Very different. Yes. So it's kind of hard. You know, it's kind of hard to compare the two or say like one is better than the other. It's like, well, no, because they're just different writers. So ultimately, it's a personal preference. And I will say, personally, I think it just depends on the song. Dave has some very strong lyrics, but for a lot of it, you guys know this, for a lot of his lyrics, I'm just going, that's nonsense. Why are you writing nonsense? I see less of nonsense with Sammy's lyrics, but this show has been proving that Sammy's not untouchable in the lyrics department. Exactly. So, and I fully admit that. So it's just, for me, it just kind of depends on the track.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about Van Halen, is that it's so eclectic, right? And you're going to get great Sammy tracks. You're going to get great Dave tracks. I just thought it was interesting coming off a weaker Sammy lyrical effort last week from Feel So Good. Coming into what I consider a strong lyrical effort.
This one definitely head and shoulders is above better lyrically for sure. For absolute sure. I'll give you that.
I can't wait till we do Humans Being, because you want a song that's just nonsense words, but it's an amazing song.
But it's a banger.
It's a banger. Absolutely. Well, I think that you're in for a whole lot of trouble. Yeah. I think that you're in for a whole lot. Oh my, Take Your Whiskey Home from Women and Children First. That was fucking cooking at the end there.
Absolute fire. It is burning up over here.
And Mikey was way up front in the mix with the bass. It sounded great. Mm-hmm. And I know that this album is kind of famous because Eddie started doing, overdubs on this one. So he started doing his own rhythm and stuff on this one. But you didn't get a lot of that in this song. You didn't need it. You had Mikey on one channel killing the bass. You had Alex, the drum sounded amazing. And then Eddie fucking killing it on the guitar there. Like when he stopped and did that fucking run there, when everybody else cut out, oh my God, I got hard a little bit, I think.
Well, happens to the best of us. But yeah, he gives you that momentary sort of blues 12 bar typical solo that you would hear from a song like this, but then very quickly reminds you, he's like, nope, I'm still a rock and roll slash metal guitarist. So here you go with the finger tapping on the fretboard and just, you know, doing his Eddie thing, man, just literally making his guitar sing. That's what he does best. It's one of the things that he will always be memorable for, not just as a good guitar player or a great guitar player, just in the sense of how to structure a song and a riff, but his solos just made the guitar not gently but very loudly weep.
So Eddie famously said he wasn't maybe the biggest fan of this song. He didn't care for it anymore. I guess they played it a lot in the club days. The rest of the band insisted it be on Women and Children First. Mark, do you agree with Eddie or do you agree with the band?
I agree that the band was right. That's what I think.
100%. This is kind of academic at this point. I'll throw my vote in first, but I'm absolutely saying... I love this album. I love like the first four, especially. Like I was sitting here thinking, is there a track on the first four that I would ever downvote? And I don't think there is. Diver Down is another thing because of course a lot of covers on that. It was very kind of thrown together. But those first four albums are so special to me. And I love Living in Children First. And that's why when we didn't get Ain't Talking About Love, I was okay with it because the alternative was Take Your Whiskey Home. And I love this song and I love whiskey. And I was a big, big fan of this. Absolutely. It's what dreams are made of for me. Mark Meyer, the big question is it what dreams are made of for you or is this dream over?
Big shocker. This is a blues heavy song. So if you want to listen to it whilst having the blues or just when you're in a bad mood, you can do that. If you want to listen to this as a go to the bar and party, get some whiskey in you and just have a good time, feel good tune, this is the one for you. It works both ways. That's just the genius and the beauty of Van Halen and specifically the way Eddie puts this thing together. But not to take anything away from that incredible rhythm section, as Corey said, they're right there up front and good thing too, because they make the song sound fuller. It makes it sound maybe not heavier per se, but just that everyone's involved and everyone is cohesive. All the right pieces fell together for this one. And good on, I know I poke fun at David Lee Roth's lyrics, but this one works. These are great lyrics. It's perfect blues song lyrics. I mean, they just absolutely work. And that solo, I mean, I don't even know what more I could possibly say about that. I really like this album. I think I'm on your side when I say like, I wouldn't downvote any of the first four albums. I definitely don't see myself downvoting a lot of Women and Children First, just because the nature of how I know the album is going to go. And I certainly am a little bummed that we didn't get the song we thought we were going to get at first, but Take Your Whiskey Home is a very fine substitute. So I'm very fine with that. I too love whiskey. And I really love this song. And I hope you all did too. The poll is going to be very interesting this week.
Absolutely. And even fans of Sammy who say that David Lee Roth can't sing, really listen to how he sticks mainly to kind of that lower register in this one, doesn't he? He doesn't, you know, go above what he does well. He has a few screeches in there, which sound great. But for the most part, he sticks mainly to that kind of lower register where his wheelhouse is. And it's phenomenal.
Yeah, he's not reaching. He's not reaching whatsoever because the song doesn't call for that. He's going to throw in his little ornamentation Rothisms in there with his howls and his little, you know. Not even so much that, but you get what I'm saying. No scatting. He's not going to scat in this one. Although, if he wanted to, it might have been somewhat appropriate. Just depending on how he did it. But yeah, there's I, I'm not going to say a bad word about his performance on this one, because it's not a bad performance whatsoever. Like I said at the top, it sounds, that's exactly what I said. And it's raw and real, and it just sounds really great.
I concur 100%. I'm not sad at all. We didn't get Ain't Talking About Love. We can save that one for down the line. I think we all know how that one's going to go. But it was just kind of appropriate. I was listening to Take Your Whiskey Home earlier this week, and I'm so glad we spun it here tonight. It's a great track from a great band. It really kind of uplifted me. Hopefully, Mark, I know you're having a bad day. Hopefully it improved your mood here.
It did improve the mood. The crumble cookies that friends of ours delivered to our house put me in an even better mood. If you don't know what crumble cookies are, you need to get on that. They are delicious. And yes, I am not mad that we got this song. This was uplifting. I needed the catharsis, and just sometimes that's all you need, people, that you just need to crank some rocking tunes and you can just forget your troubles for a hot second. And even if it's only just a hot second, you need that hot second to decompress. And there's no better music for me personally that I like to be therapeutic than some good rock music. So hopefully Take Your Whiskey Home did exactly that for you. It took you right home, your happy place, where you want to be, no matter how you've been feeling, no matter how the day, the week, the year has been treating you. It's been crueler to others than some. So let's just keep on trucking, because that's the only thing we can do. But what you can do is share the show. Tell your friends about it. I'm sure you've got friends who love rock music. Maybe they even love Van Halen. You gotta let them know about this show, because we're here to discuss all the Van Halen tracks, eat one track at a time each week. Your friends gotta know it, especially if they're Van Halen friends. So share the show, like, subscribe, do all the things, give us a rating, give us comments. We love comments, even if they're in the negative fashion. Lately, they have not. So thank you for that. And tweet at us. You can find our socials. Corey, where can they find the socials? Where can they find the show?
They can find the show at Podcastville Rock on Twitter. We'll work on getting Facebook and Instagram, maybe that kind of thing heading down the line. But you can also find the show at www.podcastvillerock.com. All of our archived episodes are there, as well as some merch. And we've been selling some merch. So thank you very much to the folks buying t-shirts. Coffee mugs have been the big thing. So thank you for buying those and the Podcast Will Rock coffee mugs and stickers. Every single 65 cents that we get from every single sale is going to go towards keeping the show alive. So thank you very much for that. We're having a lot of fun bringing you this show. We've got, 87 tracks left to go on the Van Halen show, unless we break out some solo tracks, which I'm hoping to talk Mark into. But we should also mention, Mark, that we are a part of the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, which includes such great shows as Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Skinnerd Reconsidered, the Deep Purple Podcast, T-Bones Prime Cuts on the Other Side, In the Lap of the Pods, the Magicians Podcast, that's the Uriah Heep Show, Hawk Binge, Maiden A to Z, Diary of the Mad Men, Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, Metal Gods Podcast, and Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited, which is a show I co-host with John Mariano, and two new additions to the Deep Dive Podcast Network, the Tom Petty Project, and Backtracks Theme Music, another show that I co-host with John Mariano. We just released our fourth episode, which was This Is the Life from the movie Johnny Dangerously, performed by Weird Al Yankovic. So that's a fun one.
Nice. Nicely done. And I cannot wait to be a guest on this show. That is going to be so much fun. I love music in the movies.
Open invitation, my friend, anytime you want. Like I said, we just actually recorded two shows with Jeff Saunders, a good friend of ours who appeared on our show. He's been on the Aerosmith show. You can find him at the Feeding the Monster podcast feed, doing some good work over there. And he actually picked a couple of classic TV themes for his two shows. So that's going to be a lot of fun coming up the next couple of weeks.
All right. And you can find Corey at CD Morissette on Twitter and hit him up. Find the show at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter as well. I'm sure you guys already know that. If you're listening to the show, that's probably how you found us. But if not, do let us know. You can find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram. Leave us a shout. Tell us how we're doing. You guys have been really, really great and really responsive, especially on the polls. So keep it up. The rockin' polls are there for the discussion. How you guys feel, let us know if the track is what dreams are made of or is the dream over for you? But the dream is not over for this show, for the Van Halen podcast that is, and the podcast will rock. We will keep rocking, we will keep going, and we will rock you later.